the weight of this world, and I know that you can give me rest. So I cry out with all that I have left. Let me see redemption win. Let me know the struggle ends, that you can mend a heart that's frail.
This would be easy. I never knew that anything could be this hard. I wanna trust that you know what you're doing, but right now I'm just falling apart. It's hard to see it when I'm living in the moment, but your love's still written on my heart. I get lost when I feel the wind blowing. I gotta cling to who you are.
For a while now, we're growing stronger every day now. It feels so good and there is no doubt I will stay with you as as each morning brings a sunrise, and the flowers bloom in springtime. On my loving you can rely, and I'll stay with you. Oh, I will stay with you through the ups and the downs. Oh, I will stay with you when no one else is around. And when the dark clouds arrive, I will stay by your side. And I know we'll be alright. I will stay with you. Ooh, 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 ooh. Though relationships can get old, they have the tendency to grow cold. We have something like a miracle, yeah, and I'll stay with you. Oh, I will stay with you through the ups and yes, I will stay with you when no one else is around. And when the dark clouds arrive, I will stay by your side. And I know we'll be alright. I will stay with you. And there'll be heartaches and pain. Yes, it will. Through it all, we will remain. Hey, in this life, we all know friends may come and they may go. But through the years, I know I will stay.
I will stay.
And in the end, I know that we'll find love so beautiful and divine, and we'll be lovers for a lifetime, yeah, and I'll stay with you. Oh, I will
stay
through the ups and the downs. Yes, I will
stay.
Oh, I'm gonna stay when no one else is around. And when the dark clouds arise, by his side, and I know we'll be alright. I will stay with you. Everything will be fine, yeah, and I'll stay with you through the end of all time. I will stay with you. Ooh, ooh, ooh.
Welcome everyone to the Hope Show. Thank you for tuning in on your Saturday. I hope all of you have had a great week. I hope you're ready for another inspiring message this week. I'm going to jump right in with the message. Today I'm going to be talking about faithfulness. In this throwaway society that we live in, it seems that being faithful to anyone or anything has become kind of a lost art to some people. I was fortunate enough to be raised by older parents with a strong set of morals and values. Back when I was a child, family really meant something. When two people got married, it really meant until death do you part. It didn't matter if you didn't get along, if you decided you didn't love the other person anymore. It didn't matter if you finally came to the conclusion that you had rushed into marriage and the other person just drove you absolutely crazy. It just didn't even matter if you had anything in common. When you said your vows, it was till death do you part. You just found a way to get along and work through your differences because both people understood from the very beginning that they were in this together for the long haul. It was understood that there would be no backing out when times got rough. Divorce was rarely heard of. Parents and children stayed together, and they took care of their own. People took pride in their work, and they'd done it to the best of their ability, even if it wasn't something that they particularly liked to do. A person's word was gold. You didn't necessarily need contracts written up and signed. If someone told you that they would do something, then it was already the same as done. And you didn't have to do follow-up on their progress because they were as eager as you to make good on their word. I have listened to many stories in my lifetime told by my parents and my grandparents of the simpler times when things like morals and ethics, values, integrity, honesty, kindness, compassion, consideration, manners, faithfulness, your word, all of these things were of the utmost of importance in life. And this is not to say that the older and the past generations didn't have their fair share of problems and some crime from time to time, but not even a fraction of what it is like today. Through the years, I have witnessed many changes in society, in the world, in our culture, in the generations of children being raised up, and I hardly recognize any resemblance of the old lifestyle that I was raised up in. I wonder where those days went, and I long for them to come back. I long for the world to be like it was when I was a child. I wouldn't mind it if it went back to a much earlier time than even that, perhaps, maybe even going back so far as the life of my grandparents and great-grandparents. From time to time, I have the opportunity to drive through Amish communities on my way up to my folks' house, and I often think that they have the right idea of how to live, love, and work in peace and harmony among one another. Though I know the work is hard, and they do not have the luxuries that we do with our electricity and our cars, they still seem to be so much happier. I've had contact with many, and all seem to be very upstanding, wonderful qualities, wonderful individuals, very good character, very polite and kind and considerate. They also seem to care very much about the quality of the work they do. They are faithful to their lifestyle, their personal religious beliefs, their families, their communities, their work, etc. They have a very, very low crime rate, too. Do people even know what being faithful is anymore? To say one is faithful covers a lot of ground. And when I looked up the word faithful in the dictionary, here's what it said. Faithful means a strict or thorough job in a performance of a duty, such as a faithful worker, true to one's word, steady, loyal, and constant, as in being a faithful friend, reliable, trusted, or believed, a standard by which someone lives by. Faithful can also be referred to as a body of believers for a particular religious belief. Faithful means true and devoted, staunch and dependable. To be faithful implies long continued and steadfast fidelity to whatever one is bound to by a pledge or a duty or an obligation. The definition of what it means to be faithful can be applied to every aspect of our lives, folks. Yet why are there so few that can say they are honestly faithful to something to the end? The answer is because we have become a selfish society. Instead of thinking about others, there are those people who only think about themselves and what they stand to gain. If there is no gain in it for them, then they bail out at the first sign that there's nothing in it for them. Sadly, I know of many people that I can honestly say they don't have much in common with that definition of faithfulness. When I see these people, and I'm not trying to be judgmental or anything, and I'm not trying to bash anyone, but I know of people, you know, that when I think of faithful, you know, when I think of those qualities, those characteristics, good virtues, you know, for being honest and truthful and doing what they say they're going to do, these folks, you know, they can't be trusted to do that, you know, to follow up, to follow through. And that's what it means to be faithful, is to follow through with what you say you're going to do. I'm sure many of you out there in the listening audience probably have some people in your mind that pop up right now, you know, as we're talking about it, you know, we all do. We all know who they are. What is especially painful is when some of these people are part of your own family. Or even worse yet, perhaps one of your own children. It's very disappointing. Here is a fact about faithfulness. Faithfulness hinges upon what we value as important, combined with commitment. Humans have a powerful tendency to be faithful to what they think is very important, be it a family name, a spouse, a friendship, employer, school, a job, a hobby, sports, even materialistic things. But if it's not truly important to them, then they don't put forth as much effort. Therefore, I have determined that what it boils down to is this. Where people fail to show faithfulness to certain people or things, then one has to think that those areas of that person's life are just not that important to them. Sometimes it's a painful realization that we are just not a priority, or values and morals don't mean much to those people. In the same sense, if we are not faithful to God, then essentially we are saying that He isn't that important to us either. Our priorities get mixed up somewhere along the way. People who are committed to being faithful finish their tasks, fulfill their responsibilities, keep their promises, and complete what they start. They don't leave a job half done, and they don't quit when they get discouraged. They are trustworthy and reliable. Faithfulness has always been a rare quality, especially in today's day and age. With each new generation of people coming up, you see less and less faithfulness in our society. Most people don't know the meaning of commitment anymore. They make commitments casually and then break them for the slightest reason without any hesitation, any remorse, or any regret. Every day, somebody must improvise for another person because that person either didn't show up, didn't prepare for what they were supposed to, or didn't even have the common courtesy to call you and explain why they weren't going to be able to finish that commitment. Can you be counted on by others? Are there promises that you need to keep? Vows that you need to fulfill? Or commitments that you've made to someone that you need to honor? These are all tests, folks. In Matthew 25:23, the Bible says, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in handling this small amount, and so now I will give you more responsibilities. Let's celebrate together." Folks, God is testing you, but also people around you test you in much the same way. If you can't be trusted with a little, you will not be given more. God promises to reward our faithfulness to Him in eternity, but also people around you reward you for being able to trust you, depend on you, rely on you, by entrusting you with more and more important things to do if you follow through with the little things that you have been given to do. If your boss gives you some task and you do it very well, then chances are you will be entrusted to do more. And perhaps sometime down the road you will be rewarded with a promotion or a pay raise. But if you do the task poorly, your boss may not ask you to do anything again, because first impressions are everything, folks. Most times in life, you have one shot at getting it right. And if you mess up that opportunity, well, you just might be out of luck the next go around. If you cheat on a spouse, do you think they will readily trust you again? Trust is earned, not given. But if you are loyal and faithful to your spouse, then you are rewarded with a loving, happy, trusting spouse. In friendships, if you have a friend's back and you don't gossip or intentionally hurt them, chances are pretty good that you'll probably remain friends unless something happens to change that. Relationships are fragile, but if you treat people right, they will most likely treat you right in return. Imagine what it would feel like one day to have God say to you, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in handling the small amount, so now I will give you more responsibility." That would be the highest of honors. We are all servants of one another. God created us to be that way. Faithful servants never retire. Faithful servants never get too old. They serve faithfully as long as they are alive. You can retire from your career, but you will never retire from serving God or other people. It is just as a parent whose children grow up and move out on their own. Just because the children have grown up does not mean that the parent is now a retired parent. No, I'm afraid not. Life doesn't work that way. Once you're a parent, you will always remain a parent. Every person has a reputation for something, be that good or bad. People who are faithful have an outstanding reputation for being reputable or trustworthy people. This means that these people can be trusted to do what they say. No follow-up is needed. But people who are dishonest cannot be trusted and will not be given more responsibility because it doesn't take long for word to get out, to get around about your reputation, that perhaps you're not trustworthy or reliable. Folks can't believe a word that you say. They can't depend on folks like that to complete anything. And then people start to shy away from asking those individuals to do anything for them, and either will assign someone else who can be trusted to do the task, or they will do it themselves to save everyone the hassle. Why is it so hard for some people to understand the concept of being faithful? Not just your spouse, not just to your spouse or your family, but in all areas of your life. This whole world has completely gone mad. Sometimes it just gives me a massive headache. What really disturbs me about this is that you can track a person's unfaithful behavior probably straight back to their childhood. A child who grows up in a dysfunctional home where they were constantly belittled or neglected, a child who was bullied at school or overlooked for sports or was made to feel inferior in the classroom, will most likely grow up to be an adult who has no faith in themselves. And if you don't have faith in yourselves, then you're not going to be faithful to other people. Plain and simple, folks. Most of the time, when people talk about being faithful or unfaithful, their mind automatically goes toward thoughts of marital issues. But that is not what today's message is about. I'm talking about faithfulness in all areas of your life. It's a fact. The more in harmony that you are with yourself, the more joyful and the more faithful you are to yourself, the more you will be so to other people. Faith connects us to reality. The more in touch with your own spirituality, the more faithful you will be. I believe that I am very lucky. I'm very blessed to have been raised in the family that I was. A family with older parents and grandparents still alive to share their earlier experiences with me in life. My grandfather lived during an incredible era of many changes. He experienced the horse-drawn buggy, of course. He was born in the early 1920s. But he saw the first television, the first telephones being installed in homes. He got to experience the luxury of finally having running water in his home and no more need for going out to the well to pump water for your house. He experienced cars being built and airplanes and more luxuries and variety to purchase in the general stores and the grocery stores. I wish I could have been around to see all that. I am also blessed to have close friends who are faithful, as well as my family. It is from all these individuals growing up to present day that I learned the value of perseverance and being faithful. The younger generation of today, they don't have a clue about these things that I talk about. They just don't. They didn't live through those. Maybe their parents aren't old enough, or maybe their grandparents have already gone and are up in heaven. But the younger generation just doesn't get it. But they do know all, you know, of this modern day technology. And a lot of children are being babysat by computers and television. Parents don't have time for their children for whatever reason. You know, maybe they've got two or three jobs going on to make a living, and, you know. But there are times that parents just aren't as active with their children as they should be either. But anyway, as I was saying, the computer and television, with all of that technology, is teaching our children violence. It becomes the role model for the upcoming generation. Is it any wonder that they don't know what being faithful to something is? And even Christians, too many Christians, have a commitment of convenience. They'll stay faithful as long as it's safe and doesn't involve risk or rejection or criticism. Instead of standing alone in the face of such challenges or temptation, they check out to see which way their friends are going. That, my friends, is not true faithfulness. On that note, I'm going to go ahead and take a break and play you a few songs. And when I return, we'll continue with this message about faithfulness.
Out in the backyard that never has been broken by the wind, and the reason it's still standing, it was strong enough to bend. For years we have stayed together as lovers and as friends. What we have will last forever if we're strong enough to bend. When you say something that you can't take back, big wind blows and you hear a little cry. When you say, hey, well, I might be wrong, you can sway with the wind till the storm is gone. Backyard that never has been broken by the wind. Our love will last forever if we're strong enough to bend. That you know it all. Big wind blows and a branch will fall. When you say, hey, this job takes two, we can sway with the wind till the skies turn blue.
Sway with the wind till the skies turn blue.
Like a tree out in the backyard that never has been broken by the wind. Our love will last forever if we're strong enough to bend. Our love will last forever if we're strong enough to bend.
All around me, fix. No stronghold you can break. No life that you can save. How God you never fail.
Everyone, I hope you're enjoying the message so far. I want to thank all of you for tuning in with me on your Saturday. If you're just tuning in, then I welcome you to this Saturday's Hope Show. I want to take a moment to recap what I've been talking about so that if you're just tuning in, then this will bring you up to speed. Today's message has been about faithfulness. In this throwaway society that we live in, it seems that being faithful to anyone or anything has become a lost art or even a foreign language. Most of the time, when people talk about being faithful or unfaithful, their mind automatically gravitates toward, you know, marriages and such things like that. But that only encompasses a small area of what I want to talk about today. I'm talking about faithfulness in all areas of your life. Back when I was a child, family really meant something. When two people got married, it really meant until death do you part. Friends and family alike all had each other's back when times were tough. People would flock together to help one another. A person's word was gold. People took pride in their work and done the task to the best of their ability. I was very blessed to be raised in a very faithful family. My parents were devoted to each other, devoted to the extended family such as aunts, uncles, cousins, grandparents, siblings, community, and neighbors. They were devoted to raising a family and making a home suitable for my brother and I, making a living by honest means. My parents always kept their word, and they always did tasks to the best of their ability. Their reputation meant everything to them. Parents, neighbors, grandparents, all had a part in disciplining a child. Anyone who seen a child misbehave, it was like an unspoken but well-known fact that if someone of authority saw you doing something wrong, they would step in and intervene. They would correct the child and even tell their parents, so that most of the time, when you got home, you were in trouble not once, but twice. No one enabled you to keep going and making bad choices. There were consequences, and you owned your mistakes. Excuses for poor behavior or lack of morals just simply was not accepted. Your reputation was based on how you treated other people, if you kept your word, if you followed through with something, how well you did a task, if you spoke with manners and had integrity, whether you were law-abiding or a shady character with low standards. And it also was based on how well you took care of your family with what you had to do with, how you treated your neighbors or even your strangers. To say one is faithful covers a lot of ground. And when I looked up the word faithful in the dictionary, here's what it said. Faithful means strict or thorough in performance of duty, such as a faithful worker, true to one's word, steady, loyal, and constant, as in being a faithful friend. It meant to be reliable, trusted, or believed, a standard by which someone lives by. Faithful can also be referred to as a body of believers for a particular religious belief. Faithful means true and devoted, staunch and dependable. To be faithful implies long-continued and steadfast fidelity to whatever one is bound to by pledge, duty, or obligation. So from this definition, you can clearly see that faithfulness or unfaithfulness actually encompasses most any aspect of our life. And it's not merely just about our marriages. Faithfulness hinges upon what we value as important, combined with commitment. Humans have a powerful tendency to be faithful to what they think is very important and slack off in other areas of their life. But fellow brothers and sisters, we should not be slackers in any area of our lives. God was not and is not a slacker. God's faithfulness isn't conditional. He created us to be His mirror image. How sad it is that we have fallen so far away from the initial intent and purpose for our existence. We can all recall innumerable times in our own lives when we've been tested. We've been faced with great trials and tribulations and even crushing pain. How many of you in the listening audience can honestly say that you stayed faithful to your Heavenly Father, or that you stayed faithful to your spouse, or that you stayed faithful to your family or your friends, that you stayed faithful to your beliefs, that you stayed the course, found strength to overcome your adversity with integrity and good reputation intact? Folks, I will be the first one to admit, the first one to raise my hand, that I have failed and fallen short of the glory of God. I have fallen short of faithfulness many times throughout my life, in just about every aspect of my life at one time or another, to myself, to God, to my family, my spouse, my children, my friends, even on the job. Does that make me any less of a person? I don't believe so. I think that just makes me human, and it makes me honest for admitting the fact. I admit I'm flawed and broken. I admit I have done some pretty crappy things in my life. But haven't we all? Not a single one of us out there is perfect. I want to share a quote that I found. I'm sure several of you in the listening audience probably would agree with this quote. An unknown individual is quoted as saying, "If life is a highway, I wish someone would finish the construction work already. I'm tired of all the detours, the roadblocks, and the potholes." Boy, I know I've said that before. But every struggle in our life has shaped us into the person that we are today. As crazy as it may sound, we should be thankful for those hard times because they have made us stronger than we even thought we were ever capable of being. We have learned something about ourselves that we didn't know. Fellow brothers and sisters, if we don't look down at our feet, but instead we keep our eyes focused on looking up, focused on the road ahead, on the horizon, it will lead us in the right direction. But if you're constantly looking down at your feet or mumbling and grumbling about what's going on in your life, then don't expect things to get any better for you. Keep looking up, folks. Stay focused on the road ahead. Stay focused on the horizon. It will lead you in the right direction. Giving up is just taking the easy way out. Nothing in life worth having is ever meant to be easy to achieve. If it were easy to achieve these things, then we wouldn't have to work very hard at anything, and then we would become lazy. Lessons that come easy don't mean as much to us as lessons learned the hard way. Lessons learned the hard way are never forgotten. Though whatever it is that you set your heart on might be hard, it will be worth it in the end if you stay focused on the goal. And please, folks, when you see a fellow brother or sister going down the wrong road, remember this one thing. Remember this. They don't need your help, you know, to motivate them, to speed them up going down the wrong path. They're already on that wrong path. They don't need you to help speed them up in the process to get to the end of the wrong road. Instead, they need your help to turn them around, to educate and support them, to love them, to be patient with them, to be kind and empathetic, and to put them back on the right path. The truth of the matter, though, I believe, is this. I think for the most part, people know what the right thing is, but it's just so very hard at times to do the right thing. Am I wrong? As with all things in our life, including God, most of us know when we aren't obeying God's commands. And for some of us, we just keep on disobeying. Knowing God exists, but choosing to remain lost, is like knowing how to swim, but choosing to drown anyway. What kind of sense is that? Knowing God exists, but choosing to remain lost, is like knowing how to swim, but choosing rather to drown. It's a very true statement. And how about this one? I want to share a joke that my husband told me the other night, and I'm not sure I'm saying the joke correctly, but I hope it turns out all right anyway, and I hope all of you will enjoy the joke and get the gist of it. Some of you may have already heard some of it, but some of you probably haven't. It's somewhat humorous, but mostly, it's just true. There was a man who went out on the ship, on the sea, the weather got bad, and he was thrown overboard. Hanging on to the outside of the ship, he began to pray, "God, please save me." This other ship came up to him and asked him if he needed help, and the man says, "No, God will save me." So the ship went on, And the man begins praying again. God, please save me. A guy on a jet ski comes along and asks the man if he needs any help. And once again, that man says, no, God will save me. And so the person with the jet ski goes on. And after the person on the jet ski is out of sight, again, the man starts praying, please, please, God, save me. Along came a helicopter. It lowered itself over the sinking ship, and it asked the man if he needed any help, to which the man replies again, no, God will save me. So the helicopter flew away, and the man drowned. When the man got to heaven, he asked, God, why didn't you save me? And God replied, I sent you a ship, a person on a jet ski, and a helicopter to save me. To save you. What more do you want? I have a call in here. Hold on just one moment. Hello, hey. Thomas. How are you doing today, honey?
All right. I just wanted to let you know I wasn't avoiding anybody. We just overslept. So.
Okay. Well, I'm right in the middle of my show, honey. So
okay.
Can I tell him that and he'll get in touch with you a little bit later?
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay, honey. Thank you very much.
Oh, you're welcome. Have a good show.
You too. Bye-bye.
All right.
Okay, folks. I'm sorry about that. Anyway, so the helicopter flew away and the man drowned. When the man got to heaven, he asked God, why didn't you save me? And God replied, I sent you a ship, a person on a jet ski, and a helicopter to save you. What more did you possibly want? And when I look upon my own life in the past, I can completely relate to this scenario. During the hardest times, I've cried out in prayer, God, please save me. Not even realizing that His mighty hand was already at work. In my mind's eye at the time, after I made it through the storm, I thought it was just a stroke of great luck that I survived. But now, looking back over my life, I was such a fool to think that way. God is at the helm of our ship. He is in control. He already knows the outcome. He's working on the problem to work it out for our greater good. And so that at the end of our trials and tribulations, we will praise Him and give Him all the glory. Not just think, whew, boy, we dodged a bullet on that one. Oftentimes when I think about my life, I also think about the poem called Footprints. And I want to share that poem with you right now. One night, I dreamed I was walking along the beach with the Lord. Many scenes from my life flashed across the sky. In each scene, I noticed footprints in the sand. Sometimes there were two sets of footprints. Other times, there were one set of footprints. This bothered me because I noticed that during the low periods of my life, when I was suffering from anguish, sorrow, or defeat, I could see only one set of footprints. I said to the Lord, You promised me, Lord, that if I followed You, You would walk with me always. But I have noticed that during the most trying periods of my life, there have only been one set of footprints in the sand. Why, when I needed You the most, You have not been there for me? And the Lord replied, The times when you have seen only one set of footprints is when I carried you. That poem was written by Mary Stevenson. Is there anyone in the audience today that is feeling despairing? Feeling like God has abandoned you? Feeling like you're all alone and you don't know which way to turn? Folks, Satan is a thief. He wants to cause you chaos, unhappiness, make you have a negative attitude. He wants to steal your peace and your calm. He wants you to think you're no good and that you are all alone. But you are not alone. You are a good and worthy person. You deserve peace and happiness. When we think wrong, everything just automatically goes wrong. Everything goes wrong. When we talk wrong, we live wrong. And when we make wrong decisions, we look at other people in the wrong way too. Let me tell you something, folks. Sometimes the devil will go to great lengths in his attempt to frighten us into thinking that if we do what we know in our heart is right, that we are going to lose. But many times it is just the opposite. If we honor God, we will end up advancing further than where we were because we stood our ground and we stayed true to what we believed in. God's voice stills us, leads us, reassures us, enlightens us, encourages us, comforts us, calms us, and convicts us. And Satan's voice rushes us, pushes us, frightens us, confuses us, discourages us, worries us, obsesses us, and condemns us. Where are your thoughts leading you today, folks? Is God speaking to you, or is Satan telling you his lies? Which one is winning? Better yet, here's the big question. Are you listening to and following what God is telling you? Are you listening to and believing and living your life in such a way that Satan is your victor? Folks, you know what you have to do. So go out there and do the right thing. Don't waste another minute on the edge. Get away from the edge. Because riding on the edge holds too much temptation. You will remain in that confused, despairing state of mind if you can continue to listen to Satan and stay on the edge. 1 Corinthians 6:13 says, "Be on your guard and stand firm in your faith. Be men of courage. Be strong." And in 1 Timothy 6:11, the Bible talks about, "We are children of God. We should flee from all unrighteousness and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness." Folks, we have to be bold for what we believe in. We must remain consistent. It's no joke that people every day are watching you. You set the example with your actions and deeds, the way you talk and the way you behave. Therefore, in all of our distress and persecution, we must remain encouraged and keep the faith. Be faithful children of God. Now, more so than ever in this world, it is time to open our eyes and turn away from the darkness of this world and turn toward the light. Turn away from the power of Satan and turn toward God. Because time is running out, brothers and sisters. Time is running out for us to get it right with our lives. This whole world is a prison for sin. You only have to turn the corner on the street in which you live to see pure craziness and chaos. Each and every day our faith is tested from the moment we get out of bed. Through the testing of our faith, faith develops perseverance. And on that note, I'm going to go ahead and take another break. So go ahead and get yourself a coffee or a snack and come right back and join me again for the rest of today's message.
trust is without borders. Let me walk upon the waters wherever you would call me. Take me deeper than my feet could ever wander, and my faith would be made stronger in the presence of my Savior.
My faith will be made stronger in the presence of my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus' name. Is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus' name. Christ the
you could join me today here on the Hope Show. It's such an honor to be with you in your home or wherever you are right now. I appreciate your love and your support. To all my listeners out there, I just want to say I love you very much, and you all hold a very special place in my heart. If you are just tuning in and you like what you're about to hear, I encourage you to go back to www.shazizradio.com and look up Hope for Beverly on the podcast page. After today's message is uploaded within a few hours of the broadcast, you will be able to find today's message and listen to it at your convenience. Also, along with today's message, you will find every message dated back to over a year ago when I first started the Hope Show right at your fingertips. So if you are in need of some more inspiration, please check out my podcast page on www.shazizradio.com. I want to take a brief moment to recap a little of today's message to catch everyone up to speed for those of you who may just now be tuning in. Today's message is about faithfulness. Most of the time, when a person talks about faithfulness, the human mind naturally gravitates toward thinking of marital matters, but that's not the whole sum of what my message is about today. That only encompasses a very small part of it, actually. Being faithful means so much more than that. Being faithful also means being thorough in the performance of a task, such as being a faithful worker. It also means staying true to your word, steady, loyal, and constant, as such as being there for a faithful friend. Being a faithful person also means that you are reliable and you're a trusted person. Being faithful can also pertain to a body of believers of a certain religious belief. If you are considered to be a faithful person, I myself consider that to be a great honor, because it also means that you are true, you're devoted, staunch, and dependable. There's just not a lot of those people out there in the world today. People understand that you have integrity when you show faithfulness. And yes, being faithful to something or someone implies a long, continued, and steadfast fidelity to whatever one is bound to by pledge, duty, or obligation. So you can clearly see that faithfulness or unfaithfulness covers most any aspect of our lives. Faithfulness hinges upon what we value as important, combined with commitment. Humans have a powerful tendency to be faithful to just what they think is very important and slack off in other areas of their life. But it's very important to be faithful in all areas of your life. God's faithfulness to us isn't conditional. He created us to be His mirror image. And how sad it is that we have fallen so far away from that initial intent and purpose for our existence. But it's never too late to get on the right path. Now I want us to talk a little bit about God's faithfulness to us. He is our example by which we should be living our own lives and treating other people. In Deuteronomy 7:9, God reminds us that He is the only God and that He is faithful. He will keep His covenant and show His constant love to 1,000 generations. And in 1 Peter 4:19, the Bible tells us, "So then, those who suffer because it is God's will for them, should be their good actions, so in their good actions should trust themselves completely to their Creator, who always keeps His promises." What type of character do you have? Can you be trusted to keep all of your promises? 1 John 1:9 states that if we confess our sins to God, He will keep His promise, and He will do what is right. He will forgive us of our sins and purify us from all wrongdoing. God has 5 attributes, and I'm sure He has many more than that as well, but I'm just going to be talking about these 5 attributes right now. An attribute is a quality or characteristic of someone. God is omniscient. He knows every single thing about you. To be omniscient is to have complete and unlimited knowledge or awareness and understanding of things. God is omnipotent. I can't even pronounce these words. Omnipotent. He is all-powerful. To be this is to have very great and unlimited authority of power. God is omnipresent. He is always there for us and always present. All we have to do is call on Him. Knock, and the door shall be opened. To be omnipresent means that you are present everywhere at the same time. God is truthful. God cannot tell a lie. It's not in His character. If God tells you something, you can believe it's the truth. And if He promises you something, consider it already done. God is immutable. God cannot and will not change, ever. For all time, He remains changeless. These qualities and characteristics are very impressive indeed. God is great all the time. Only God can be all of these things so perfectly and so unwaveringly. But He is our example, and we can always do more, and we can always strive to be better each day. God has time for each and every one of us. How many of us are in this world? Billions of people. And yet God knows every single thing about each and every one of us. He has unlimited authority. He is always there for every single one of us, is everywhere at all times. He's always truthful and never changing, always consistent. Now, folks, I understand that the first 2 or 3 attributes are something that only God can do, to the ability that he does it. But that doesn't mean that we can't still love one another and gain knowledge of one another so that we can better assist one another. Your agenda isn't always the most important thing. When you see someone in need, go to them. God will provide. The person you help will be blessed, and so will you. Truth is very important. It's a very important attribute. In this world in which we currently live in, your word is pretty much all you have left. Truth is golden. People get to really know what kind of character you are by how you handle yourself, if you're an honest individual, if you keep the promises that you make. I always make it a rule in my own life, a rule of thumb, that I will not tell someone I will do something unless I am 99.9% sure, certain, that I will be able to come through with what I said. I raised my daughter with the same rule of thumb. I'm sure you've all seen parents out there who discipline their children with empty threats for punishment or promise them later we'll do that or we'll get that, and it's only an empty promise just to appease the children, to quiet them down for the moment. I still consider that lying, folks. Lying to your children. When they get older, this teaches them that if you have no intention of doing what you're going to say, and it's a 50-50 chance at best. They start doing this in their own lives. You ask them to do something and they say, oh, I'll do it later, Mom or Dad, or okay, I'll get right on that. A few hours later, perhaps even tomorrow, you go back to check to see if it's done, and it hasn't been done. Who's to blame? Parents set the example, and children follow what they are taught. When children grow up and become adults, they behave as they were taught as young person, whether that be a good quality or not so good quality. And what about the quality of being consistent or unchanging? We can all practice that and become better at it. What are our beliefs? Do we stand firm in our beliefs? Or are we wishy-washy on some things? If you're wishy-washy on certain things, I can tell you this, folks. You are not helping yourself out or anyone else. Be bold and courageous in what you believe and stand tall. Stand firm. Don't back down when things start to get tough. Keep the faith. Why are we able to rest in God's faithfulness? Why do you think we're able to do that, folks? I'm going to list off some reasons why we can rest assured that God is and always will be faithful to those who love and believe in Him. Number one, the Lord is unfailing in His love, mercy, grace, and forgiveness. As fresh as the morning, as sure as the sunrise, God's love, mercy, grace, and forgiveness shall surely continue each and every day. The Lord is good to everyone who trusts in Him. So it is best that we wait on Him and be patient. Number two, God is unchanging. If there is something He wants us to do, He will equip us. He will empower us to fulfill what His will is for us. And number three, He forgives us. If we confess our sins to God, He will keep His promise. And He will do what is right. He will forgive us our sins and purify us of all of our wrongdoing. And number four, He limits our temptations, our trials, and tribulations. In 1 Corinthians 10:13, the Bible states, every test that you have experienced is the kind that normally comes to people. But God keeps His promise, and He will not allow you to be tested beyond your power to remain firm, at which time you are put to a certain test. He will give you the strength to endure it, and so provide you with a way out. And number five, because He loves us, He disciplines us. Just as we love our children and discipline them when they have done something wrong. It's not because we're trying to be mean to our children. It is because we love them enough to set them back on the right path. God disciplines us for the very same reasons. But God doesn't force himself on anyone either. If we turn our back on him, he respects our decision. So for some people, when the end times are here, they will hear God say, "I never knew you." In Matthew 7:21-23, it states, "Not everyone who calls me Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only those who do what my Father in heaven wants them to do. When the judgment day comes, many will say to me, 'Lord, Lord,' but I will say to them, 'I never knew you. Get away from me, you wicked people.'" None of us ever, ever want to hear those words. For if we don't live our eternal lives in heaven, then where do you think we will go? The answer is the exact opposite place. A place that is called hell. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. Whoever disobeys the Son will not have life. God is very, very clear about this. In Revelations, it states that the final judgment day, "Then I saw a great white throne, and the one who sits on it. Earth and heaven fled from his presence, and were seen no more. And I saw the dead, great and small alike, standing before the throne. Books were opened, the book of the living. The dead were judged according to what they had done, as recorded in the books. And then the sea gave up its dead. Death and the world of the dead were thrown into the lake of fire. This lake of fire is the second death. Those who did not have their name written in the book of the living will be thrown into the lake of fire. This is what the book of Revelations tells us. God loves us unconditionally, but he is a God of truth and faithfulness. He will not change who he is for us. He will not make exceptions. Our lives, our deeds, actions, the words that we speak, every detail of our lives and what we did with our life here on earth is being recorded in the book of life as we speak. If you say no to God, it's an eternal disaster. But if you say yes to God, it's an eternal blessing. As I mentioned earlier, knowing God exists but choosing to remain lost is like knowing how to swim but choosing rather to drown. Who does that? Our bodies were created as a temple for God. These portals or vessels, they are not our property. They are only on loan to us for a little while. Treat them well, and treat everyone else you meet with as much kindness, consideration, love, respect, truthfulness, faithfulness, empathy, grace, love, mercy, forgiveness, that you yourself want others to show you. Let us lead by example. Let your light and your behavior shine so that when others see you, they will know you as a child of God. And on that note, I'm going to go ahead and take another quick break. And when I return from the break, Shaziz will be joining me and for the last segment of the show. So please come back. Please join us after this short break.
Drowning in your sea of forgetfulness, the chains of yesterday surround me. I yearn for peace and rest. I don't want to end up where you found me, and it echoes in my mind, keeps me awake tonight. I know you've cast my sin as far as is from the west, and I stand before you now as though I've never sinned. But today I feel like I'm just one mistake away from you leaving me this way. Jesus, Jesus, can you show me just how far the east is from the west? 'Cause I can't bear to see the man I've been rising up in me again. In the arms of your mercy I find rest. 'Cause you know just how far the east is from the west, from one scarred hand to the other. Reminding of my sin, time and time again, your truth is drowned out by the storm I'm in. Today I feel like I'm just one mistake away from you leaving me this way. Jesus, can you show me just how far the east is from the west? 'Cause I can't bear to see up in me again. In the arms of your mercy I find rest. 'Cause you know just how far the east is from the west, one scarred hand to the other. I know you've washed me white, turned my darkness into light. I need your peace to get me through, to get me through this night. Can't live by what I feel, but by the truth your word reveals. I'm not holding on to you, but you're holding on to me. You're holding on to me. Jesus, you know just how far the east is from the west.
Everyone, if you are just tuning in, we have been talking about what it means to be faithful in our lives. Being faithful isn't just for your spouses. It covers every aspect of your life. So it covers how you are on the job, how you are with your friends, your family, your spouse, strangers, neighbors, church, church families, your children, you name it. It covers everything. Being faithful is about performance. Faithfulness hinges upon what we value as important combined with our commitment. Humans have a powerful tendency to be faithful to what they think is very important, but then slack off in other areas of our lives. So now joining me on the Hope Show is Shaziz. Shaziz, in your own words, how would you describe faithfulness and how it pertains to everyday living and how you apply it? How would you explain that?
Well, I have to be honest, when I heard a couple of the songs, I thought the faithfulness had to do with me. Anyway, what I meant by that was, every time I hear that Footprints story, when it gets down to the portion where Jesus says that those times whenever you only seen one set of footprints is when I carried you, I get choked up inside, because a lot of people, they just kind of miss all the little things in life, especially with their spouses, the faithfulness that their spouses have. My wife, I can't even begin to tell you how much I love her because of the roads that we've been down. Even in my worst times, when I was either showing my butt because I wasn't happy about something or whatever, or acting a fool, even in my worst times, my wife stayed true. She stayed faithful. And when I was sick and down, she was by my side. And through this whole dental procedure thing that I've had, she fed me mush, which she did take some sort of pleasure out of. And the fact that I can't talk as much as I used to. But regardless of all that, I love her so much more because as I listen to that footprints thing, when those single footprints were in that sand, those were my wife's. She was carrying me. That's pretty cool, man. So, as far as faithfulness, I think I hit the jackpot on that one. But,
it's a two-way street.
Yeah. You know, and I also listened to the joke that my friend had told me, and then I told my wife about the guy that went out and he drowned because he ignored all the things that God sent him. And I looked back on my life, and Beverly looked back on her life, and we could see multiple incidents where God's saying, "Hey, you know, look over here, you know, check this out, you know, hey, this is what you need." And you know, for our own stubborn reasons or whatever, we just kind of overlooked that that help that was handed to us on a silver platter. And for the most part, a lot of people overlook all the simple blessings in life that are continuously coming. You know, if you look back through your life, even in the worst times, you still had what you needed. Or otherwise, you wouldn't be where you're at today. You wouldn't be here. You know? And so, to me, I believe that our Creator has been faithful. You know, with the everything put in place from nature and the wind and the air that we breathe and the water that we drink, everything, the food that comes from the earth that sustains life, to me, that was a faithfulness right from the get-go that we were going to be cared for while we came down here and messed up everything we were going to mess up and learned everything we were going to learn in life. But through all that, the biggest thing that I've grasped from it is that in Genesis it talks about God created man in his own image. I believe he created women the same way. And the faithfulness that we have for each other to take care of each other or even to try to make this world a better place, to me, is a representative of that ultimate faithfulness that God put out there for all of us from the start, you know. That's about the best I can say.
That's very true. And like I said earlier, you know, about a person's reputation, you know, I mean, you know, that's very important, a person's reputation and their word. And as I said, you know, a lot of times that's all you have left in this world today. And if you don't have that, then you don't have anything.
My grandfather used to tell me that a man's word was like gold. There was a time in history when you could go up and you could shake a man's hand and give him your word that you'll be there on a certain day to pay. And in order to keep your honor, you would make sure that you were there on that certain day to pay. Now you have to have a giant contract signed in blood, giving away your firstborn or your left or right leg or something like that, or your soul even. And it didn't used to be like that.
You know, I have a pet peeve about stuff like that too, because, you know, I was born and raised with an older generation of parents and grandparents, and they were pretty much just as Shaziz has said about his grandparents. And you know, I was raised that if you told somebody you were going to do something, if something happened, you know, sometimes things do happen that's beyond our control, and sometimes you can't do what you said you were going to do. You know, maybe you were going to meet somebody a certain time, or maybe you were going to pay this on a certain day, or maybe you were going to do that job, and, you know, for whatever reason, something comes up out of your control, and you can't meet that promise. You know, back in my day, when I was younger, you gave people a phone call, you know, a courtesy call, and you explain to them, you know, I'm sorry, this is what's going on in my life, you know, the money was supposed to be here and it's not, so I can't pay you, but I'll do a rain check, I'll make another pay date for you, or you know, my car broke down and I can't meet you. But, you know, you always picked up the phone. Yeah. Just a common courtesy. And that is such a lost art today because, you know, people just, they'll just leave you hanging.
And no matter what happened, you always try your best to remedy the wrong that you may have done somebody, even if it was unintentional. You always try to remedy it. Yeah. And, you know, it's a whole lot more important for people to realize how valuable their reputation is, how valuable their word is, because there's going to be times when you ain't got a penny in your pocket and you may have to rely on your word or your reputation to get you through, because if you're one of those guys that just continuously does everybody wrong and you go to ask for help, they're going to look at you like, yeah, I'm really going to help you after, you know, the way you treated everybody else. No, that's not going to work. And so, you know, there's the faithfulness right there. You know, faithfulness in your truth and your justice and everything that you stand and hold dear as what's right and wrong, you know.
It'll all come back to bite you.
And it does. Sometimes it's instantaneous karma. I've been down that road before.
Well, my husband and I, you know, we have a land payment each month, and our payments are due like on the 8th or the 9th of the month, but we get paid on the 1st of the month, and so we always make that payment to these folks on that date. And, you know, they're an elderly couple, and it's not like to the bank or anything like that, but those folks have been accustomed to us being there on the 1st. We're always early. And so Shaziz and I, if we can't be there on the 1st for whatever reason, even though we're still going to be early with our payment, we will still call these folks and say, look, we're not going to be here today. Because, you know, through our history with them, we always come on the 1st. And so, you know, they're looking for that money, you know. They're elderly folks, and they need that, even though it's always early. And so that's what I'm talking about, just a phone call.
Well, and the relationship that we built between these individuals is a relationship of trust. They're already going to sell us some more land on payments, you know, without no down payment and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, you don't see that anymore. You go to the bank and ask them to give you something on your trust and your credit and that kind of stuff. They'll look at you cross-eyed. Well, what do you got to put up? You know, they're so afraid that they're going to be ripped off that they won't trust anybody. And there's folks out there, honorable folks, that are still around. Now, you know, my generation isn't gone yet. There are still some people with some honor left. And so, you know, with that said, if the banks would know these people personally and work with them, kind of like credit unions do, you get to know somebody at a credit union and they know your type of person and that you're always on time and stuff, you know, staying true to your beliefs and your faithfulness, it's a good way to go.
It is. And you know, going back to the giving somebody a call, I can't tell you the number of times that I have been expecting someone to come to my house or expecting a phone call from them for something or whatever, and I've waited, I've just killed my whole day, and I've just dropped everything for these folks, and I've waited and I've waited and I've waited, and they don't show up, they don't call. You know, that's probably one of my biggest pet peeves with people, you know, just because to me that doesn't show any respect, it doesn't show any trustworthiness or consideration, you know.
Well, and I always wonder where that came from. I always wonder where they got that. But you talked about earlier how if you're not consistent with your children, how they won't be consistent with theirs.
Exactly.
You know, and you don't stay true to your word, and if you tell it to the kid you're going to be punished or grounded or whatever, then that's exactly what happens, and that kid knows that you're consistent. Mm-hmm. And consistency is
key.
Yeah, it's the key to the whole thing. especially when it comes to giving your word to people.
I know whenever I was, you know, raising my daughter up, like I said, I wouldn't tell her something just to appease her. You know, I was always honest with her. I always either told her straight up, hey, Mom can't afford that, or we don't have time for that, or, you know, whatever. But if I had the time or I had the money, sometimes I'd go ahead and say, okay, we'll do that. Or, you know, maybe if we didn't have the time there, and I'd say, well, we can come back to that later. If I said that, I made sure, straight up, that I did what I said. We would come back later and do that. And she learned that consistency. She learned that whatever Mom's word was, that was go, you know. And if I told her she was in trouble, she could count on that as well. And not only that, but, you know, her father and I, even though we're divorced, we had a great relationship too. And a lot of times with parents, even if they're from divorced families, there's not consistency, there's not faithfulness in that, even in that divorce, that relationship you still have with your between your children, whether you like it or not. You know, sometimes a person will go to the other parent's house, and if they were in trouble, they're not anymore. It's not followed through with, you know, it's like nothing ever happened. But with Kara, with her father and I, if she was in trouble at my house, she was still in trouble at his house too.
I got an interesting aspect about God and faithfulness. You know, when you think about God creating all the heavens and the earth and doing everything that he does, you know, raising the sun up and, you know, just doing everything that it keeps takes to keep the everything working. See, God's got it made. He owns heaven, you know. And the fact that he's willing to share that with us, you know, even down here on the earth, where we think we got it so bad. Man, we don't have it so bad. Every day we wake up and there's a nice new fresh sunlight come up, a new day, a clean slate. You don't have to go through what you did yesterday. You could change your path in life. You got free will to go and do what you want.
Shelter and food.
Yeah, you've been provided for, you know. And if we used to its advantage to everything that we were given, there wouldn't be no problems on this world. There wouldn't be no wars. There wouldn't be no starvation or sickness or ignorance that goes on if we could just reach down and grab that love out of our heart and share it with the world, share all of our resources. There's more than enough to go around. I mean, look at all the things that are wasted in modern-day society that somebody else could have got benefit from. Could we have figured out a way that instead of throwing it in the trash, worked it towards somebody who needed it, you know? That way that person would be fed and sheltered and be able to go out and help somebody else. That spreads out. For every individual you help, it spreads out. It spreads out even farther and pretty soon would span the entire globe. And so now you've got productive individuals in the world that are helping other people to be productive. It's all common sense in my mind. I just don't see why the world can't get past the greed and the hate and the anger and the discontent and recognize the small blessings along with the big blessings that we get rained down on all the time. Rain's a blessing. Snow's a blessing. You know, winter's a blessing. Summer's a blessing. You think, oh, I hate wintertime because I hate to be cold. But without wintertime, you're going to have a summertime full of so many bugs. And I don't like bugs crawling on me, so
well, I've got
to get rid of a few of them.
I've got a testimony on myself even this morning. You know, earlier on yesterday, I came home from doing my volunteer work, and I discovered that my back tire on my car was nearly flat, and the wire was showing and things like that, and it wasn't holding air anymore. And so I decided that I was going to try my hardest, because I had other plans this afternoon, and I was going to try my hardest to get up early and try to go 5 miles into the nearest town and try to fix this tire and get myself back on the road again. Well, you know, first thing out of the gate, I'm up early, and I get in the car, and I spill a hot cup of coffee all down the front of me. Well, then I get the 5 miles into town, and all four places in this town that repairs tires are closed. And so, in the process of that 10 or 15 mile journey, after all the driving around I did, I ended up having to air up my tire 4 times in that length of time. In the last quarter mile, I aired it up, and in a quarter of a mile, the tire was flat again. And we didn't think that we had a spare or anything. And I got home, and, you know, I was pretty well bumming. My morning didn't start off real well. And I thought I was going to miss church and all these things. And as I'm here on the radio show, you know, my friend is texting me saying, hey, you know, if you can come over right now, I'll help you, you know, get your tire fixed or this or that, or I'll come get you or whatever. And then, you know, Shaziz finally takes everything out of the trunk and he finds a spare, and we're back in on the road again and things like that. But, you know, God is so good. God is so good all the time. That was such a blessing this morning. I mean, so there's a testimony for all of that, you know. I mean, that car could have exploded on me on the way to town. I could have been stranded, you know. I could have not had a spare. So many things could have gone so much worse. But God was faithful. And God saw me to and fro and helped me out. Showed us a spare tire.
And, you know, most generally, when things are going wrong in the world, people are cursing God, you know?
I'm over here saying, praise God, I got home safe. Praise God, there's a spare tire.
Why would God allow people to suffer and starve and wars and all that? God didn't allow any of that kind of stuff. You know, he essentially put the Ten Commandments down there, thou shalt not kill, you know. There wasn't no ifs, ands, or buts in there. Just don't kill, man, because if you kill, somebody's going to want to kill you. So the rules were put down there. You were given free will to do whatever it is you choose. You could choose between good and evil on a daily basis. And then when things are going awry, the first one, GD this, GD that, you know, and bleep, 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 and all this all day long, and, you know, it could have been so much easier to just let things go in God's hands and just let things be, you know.
Praise God in the storm.
You broke down on the side of the road, and some brother or sister comes along and offers you a ride to the gas station. There might be a reason for that. It might have been somebody looking out for you. But that's usually the way it happens, because as bad as you might think this world is, there always seems to be somebody willing to lend you a hand. And to me, that's a blessing, and that is the true faithfulness of our Creator that, you know, I feel like takes care of us even in our worst. Just like my wife took care of me when I was in my worst. You know, whether it be of my own doing or some health problem, she stood faithful with me through the whole deal, for better or for worse, until death do us part, just like we said when we got married to begin with. To me, I think that's cool.
Yeah, we just celebrated our 12th anniversary not too long ago. We haven't been married that long, but the total sum of the years that we've been together, we just passed our 12-year mark, and so I thought that was pretty cool. That means a lot to me. That's really special.
Yeah, but she still won't recognize my man powers.
Always the mouthy one.
Yeah.
Always got to be one of those in the family.
Had me screaming like a little girl when I was mouthing off one time, and she was on the couch, and I thought she was still on the couch, and I was all the way in the bathroom working my way back towards the living room, and she was standing around the corner to get me.
I'm always faithful.
Yep, she was there.
Faithfulness in my pranks as well.
Those are the things that makes it all worthwhile, man. So don't even discount the trials and tribulations you go through, because those define the characteristics of your life and the kind of person you end up being, as long as you're willing to learn from that. And you can make your life better. Even if it seems really bad, there's always something good. There's always some good soul out there that's willing to lend you an ear, or or help you out. You just got to get out there, and you just got to look, you know? It's like that one song that she plays on there, I Hope You Dance. I love that song because it's talking about getting out there living life, you know? Instead of sitting around worrying about doomsday, get out there and dance. Get out there and enjoy life. Get out there and bring life together with somebody else. Do something cool. I think you're getting ready to play a song on us, aren't you?
Yeah, it's about 10 minutes till, and I think I'm going to go ahead and wrap this up. Time's running out to play a couple of songs up out of here. And so is there anything that you'd like to say? Any last words before I play us up out of here with some songs?
Just how blessed I am and how much I love my wife and I love my God and I love my life, and just stay true to your beliefs and stay faithful to each other and stay faithful to whoever you believe the Creator to be, and I think life will go just fine for you. So peace and love, everybody.
Okay, well, time is running out, so here on the Hope Show today, and it's been another fascinating message on a very real topic that all of us deal with every day. And I hope you have gotten some inspiration from today's message. So on that note, Shaziz has said his final comments. And thank you, Shaziz, for those comments and for joining us today here on The Hope Show. And thank you out there, all the listening audience, for tuning into The Hope Show today. So until next Saturday, same time, same place, from me to you, I hope you all have a very blessed week. And I'm going to play Shaziz's favorite song here, I Hope You Dance, and then Redeemed. So God bless. Love you.
You'll give faith a fighting chance, and when you get the choice to sit it out or dance.
is life.